So if you could find our text, it's Leviticus 23, verses 26 through 32. Could you turn there? Leviticus 23, verses 26 through 32. And if you're physically able, would you stand? Let's honor God as we consider his word read audibly in our midst. And then we'll ask God to bless our time together. Leviticus 23, beginning at verse number 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now on the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Verse 29. For whoever is not afflicted on that very day shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. And finally, verse 32, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves on the 9th day of the month beginning at evening, from evening to evening shall you keep your Sabbath. Amen. Our Father, we humbly bow before you now, and we ask you to help us understand what you mean by what you say here. Help us to make right applications in our lives today. And then, Lord, by the power of the Spirit and the grace of God, enable us to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're continuing on then with this our subject, the Feast of the Lord. This is the 6th time we've looked at this, and so I want to just connect the dots. It's been a few weeks since we talked about it, so let's just connect the dots a little bit, all right? Remember that the Old Testament feasts are all fulfilled in Jesus Christ, okay? Colossians says that these are types. Colossians 2 says that these are types and shadows, but Christ is the substance, all right? They all point to him. We also have learned that the first three feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, are representatives of Christ's death, right? His burial and his resurrection. They all point forward to that great day when that reality was going to happen. The fourth feast, which was the Feast of Weeks, if you'll remember, then would point to the next major event after Christ was resurrected, which would have been at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given, right? Christ said, I go and I will send you what? Another comforter. And so the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, that's what weeks meant, was the 50 days past first fruits. And so then we have Pentecost. Last week, we looked at the fifth feast. That's the Feast of Trumpets, and we saw that that feast represents the great day when Christ is going to return and the saints will be resurrected, right? His voice will be heard, the trumpet will sound, and what? The dead in Christ will be raised. Yeah. What a tremendous event that's going to be. That regal voice will ring out from heaven as he's descending. And every graveyard's got to let the saints go. All of the oceans and seas and places where they've been burned up. And nobody even knows people don't know where Moses was buried, but God does. Every place that has a saint, got to let him go. Just like that grave had to let Lazarus go. When the maker and master calls, all of creation has to respond. Yeah? That's a great time. So when we're looking forward to that day, nothing can hold you back. That's it. When the master speaks, creation has to respond. Yeah? No matter how long you've been dead. That good news? Yeah. So the Feast of Trumpet then reminds us of that great reality. All right. Today then, as we look at this paragraph, this is the order. We're following the same order that we have with the other five feasts. We're going to look at the origin of the Day of Atonement, and then we're going to consider the significance, okay? It's important to keep the both in mind, okay? God wants us to, when we study the Scriptures, to not trivialize any of it. God would not have preserved His Word and these particular matters that we're studying if it weren't of value, right? Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but what? Every word comes from the mouth of God. So this is important, yes? All right. So then we, as you can probably imagine, then when you think about the origin, just like in the other five we considered, it's divine in origin. This is from God, right? So then what we would say is that the Lord Himself, Yahweh, is the one that instituted the Day of Atonement. You got verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, it's the Lord who has established what we're about to study. This wasn't Moses' idea. No one in Israel would have come up with anything like this. Never. This is God's idea. Right? And so God has established it with all of His authority. He establishes what is good and right. And His people then is us. He gives His instruction to us. Why? Because we are the ones who have the mind to understand what He's saying. And we are the ones that He expects to obey Him. Right? So if you look at the next verse, you got verse 27. On the 10th day of this seventh month, and the day is the Day of Atonement. Look at this. It shall be for who? You. All right? So this instruction was given to the people of God. Okay? The people who know God. The people who believe God. The people who obey God. You isn't everybody here. Moses isn't speaking to the whole world. He is speaking to who? The people of God. It shall be for you. Right? So with that in mind, again, this follows the same pattern as the other five. The instruction came from God with all of divine authority. It is given to God's people who He know will understand and obey. No, that shouldn't be any trouble for anybody. All right. So the next thing we then want to do is to look at the instruction, understand what it is, and then we're going to try to find out how to unpack it and see what it means. All right. So what is the instruction? You got it? Starting at verse 27. The first thing that you notice is that this was a one-day feast. We've looked at feasts that have been longer than one day, but this particular one is what? One day, all right? It is a feast that's to be held on the 10th month, excuse me, the 10th day of the seventh month. Now, in the Hebrew calendar, that's the month Tishrei, okay? The month Tishrei. You got to look at verse 27. Now, on the 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. That is crystal clear. That could not have been confused by them. It cannot be confused by us. Right? It's the 10th day of the seventh month. That would be Tishrei 10. Okay? One day. And this is amazing. God asked for one day. Yeah. Now, in this particular case, this is one day out of the whole year. In our case, it's one day out of the week. But still, God is reasonable, right? The kind of service the Bible calls our worship for Him is what? Reasonable. Right? I appeal to you, brethren. Present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. This is because it's your reasonable. This is the reasonable thing you can do for the one who's bought you. Who paid for you, who owns you. You're no longer what? Your own. So it's reasonable to give Him one day. Amen. It's reasonable to give Him just a portion of what He has given to you financially. Right? God reasons with us. His requirements are not unreasonable, except to unreasonable people. But when you've been born, Trey said what? Again, we are, now God can reason with us because we are what? Children. We're in his family now. We can think like him. Yes? Yeah. And so then this is a one-day festival held on Tishrei 10. The next thing you notice is that the details say to us then, this day was to be one dedicated to fasting, which would be denying your body of food, and in many cases, drink. Because you can't go a whole day without drinking any liquid, any fluids. Yes? And it's actually, I don't want to digress too much, it's actually healthy. Our bodies need to detox. So God knows what he's doing. And he's telling us to do it physically, but there are, spiritually, but there are physical what? Benefits. When God gave the dietary plan, it was for them to obey him, but it benefits us physically. Right? That's the reason we need to obey God. He's wise beyond measure. He's already thought through all of the ramifications of what he tells you to do. Yeah? Man, you can't beat that. There's never any error in anything God tells us to do. No negative ramification. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean that you won't get hurt or no pain. But I'm saying the ultimate benefit is always, he's what? God is at work causing what? All things ultimately work together for good. It may not feel good at the moment or in the process, but it's going to work out for what? Good. Yeah? So you count it all joy because it's going to be good. You get it? So fasting, then God calls for it, just obey him. Because it's good. Right? And then he says he wants us to not just deny yourself of food, but it's going to be a day, we'll read this in a minute, of afflicting yourself. In other words, you need to learn to deny yourself of other pleasures. Yeah. Turn off the TV. I mean, in our vernacular. You don't need to watch TV all the time. I don't know how you all work, but you can eat breakfast without a TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, whatever you do. It's amazing to sit down to eat and, this one's doing that and that one's doing this thing, right? We need to learn to deny ourselves because there's benefits in the kingdom that you don't take advantage of. If you don't take advantage of them, you'll miss them. You miss them. You got to slow it, back it down. You remember Jesus had to slow the apostles down because there's always work to be done. Always something to do, right? And so this is a day God says, slow it down. Dial it back. Right? This is a time we're going to focus on, from God's vernacular, we're going to focus on God. All right? Self-denial, no normal daily routines. This is not a day to clean the house, wash the clothes, mow the yard. It's so amazing to be heading for church on Sunday. Now you hear lawnmower. You head to church, and this is people's yard day. And so God wants us to be the models of those who learn when he calls for no routine labor to be able to do that without regrets. And then finally, there's going to be many animal sacrifices that were going to be made. Okay, you got to go back again to your Bible. You see the second sentence in verse 27? It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering. And you shall not do any work on that day, for it is a day of atonement to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Okay? And so all of the things that I've described for you, God is laying out there. And Leviticus 16 gives you all of these matters in explicit detail. Okay, we're not going to go there, but you can Look further into that for yourself. Leviticus 16, verses 1 through 34. This was a day of fasting, self-denial. You're not to do any work, any routine labor or work. And it was going to be a day when there were going to be many animal sacrifices. We good? And so God gives these instructions. And then finally, he wants his people to know this is not for special Christians. I mean, they weren't Christian. This is not for special believers. Okay? And so this is not for the super saint. God is saying, this is what I want for all my children. I want all of you to learn to deny yourself. All of you. This is not just for the leaders or, you know, for those who you may consider to be higher on the echelon. Because there are no, in the body of Christ, there are no higher, lower. We just all got different functions. And so God says, I want all of the parts of the body. Because, see, when I fast, it's not just my mouth that fasts. Right? Whether my right hand wants to participate in it or not, you're going to participate in this fast. Why? Because the body is fasting. Right? Because the body needs to learn to fast. The right hand needs to learn. You're going to be better after this fast. Right? And so that's what we have to learn. Now I'm bringing it up. I'm not, shouldn't be applying it just yet, but that's what they were going to have to learn, is that when God says this is for all of Israel, they had to learn that all of Israel was going to benefit from this. Okay? And all Israel need to learn to obey God. That's the reason parents teach their children while they're young to obey God, even when they don't understand it, because they know that it's beneficial. Yeah? My parents, when they drug me to Sunday school or sent me, you know, because they knew it was beneficial, even though I was doing it under duress, they knew that it was beneficial, right? And so God, what did I do? Somebody's hurrying me along. I know. It's the drugs, okay? So the point then was this. On this day, every year, the high priest was to enter into the holiest place on earth. Once a year, he went into the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, and he was going in there to make a sacrifice for the sins of all of God's people. This one day every year. He had to be ready. The people had to be ready. Because God does not play games when it comes to sin. One sin is enough to condemn you to hell forever. Now you think of that. One. One lie. And this is the problem with people that think they're good. You see, you don't actually have to lie if you already plan to do it. You don't actually have to commit adultery if you've already contemplated it in your mind. Jesus said, right? If you've already done it in your heart, you're just waiting for opportunity to live it out, okay? So just that sinful thought is enough to send you to hell. Amen. This is serious, yeah? Yes, and so Israel needs to learn that, and you and I do too. Because we're going to see, this is what makes you love Christ all the more. When you realize that he died for every sin that would have sent me to hell. This has to be thorough. You see, no sin could be missed here. It's like, you remember we looked at the Passover. That blood had to be put on the doorpost of everybody who was going to survive. If you missed it, you died. Yeah? And so we want to make sure in this particular case that all the sins are taken care of, right? So that priest represents your fate, right? And we're going to see this in a minute. This was a very significant matter. Your fate depended upon that priest who just went behind that curtain. Yes. And you know what? If he wasn't right, he don't come out. And you're still in trouble. Because if he ain't right, God's going to kill him. And you're going to have to drag, because nobody's going in to get him. So he goes in with a rope tied around him. And he's got bells.
Amen.
So you can hear him. Because when the bells stop ringing, God has taken him out. Mm-hmm. You're still in trouble.
Amen.
A whole lot's riding on this priest.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm not delusional now.
Amen.
This is for real.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah?
So you getting it?
Yeah.
Okay. I jumped ahead a little bit there with the significance, but then let's look at the significance quickly. What's the significance then of the Day of Atonement? Atonement really simply means to cover sin, okay? To cover sin. And so then on Tishrei 10 was the day. For it was this day each year when all the sins of believing Israel was going to be covered or forgiven. This was significant. You listen to me. Intentional sins. Unintentional sins. Sins that you are aware of. Sins that you were not aware of. Sin of commission. Sins of commission. All of them. All of those sins are going to be forgiven. And so you got to make sure that on this one day, I want the priest to be right. And I want to be right. Because what? I want all of my sins forgiven. Because if he misses one, my soul is in trouble. Yeah? You getting it? And so they were having to learn this every year because it was pointing what? It's pointing forward to a reality. And so God knew they needed to be reminded what? Every year. Don't forget this. The high priest was the only mediator, you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Between God and those people. Everything was riding on that priest that just went through that curtain. He's the only one that stands between them and God's destruction on the nation. You get it?
Amen.
And I know you're getting the picture already. And so confession and self-denial then were essential for the forgiveness of sins. And I just want to leave you with this point. I'm trying to impress upon you that there was absolutely nothing more important than being at peace with God. Nothing more important than having your sins forgiven. And that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted Israel to know. You've got to stop all your routine. You got to, all this busy work is keeping you distracted. You need to realize that your relationship with me is the most important thing in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop being distracted with all this stuff around you.
Uh-huh.
And some of us, what do you call it? Have nervous eating habits or whatever. I forget what it's called. But you see, God wants us to see, you can't use, what do you call it? You can't use food as what, comfort thing, or whatever, however the word is. And so we all have things that distract us when we're under pressure. And God's saying, get all of that out of the way. This is between me and you. You got to come and deal right and honestly with me. You see this? So there is nothing more important than this peace and this right relationship with God. That's the point here. You getting it? So stop doing all the other, let go of your pleasure, your money, all those things, your ministry. See, your ministry is not more important than this right relationship with God. Your family? You need to hear me here, because many people use their family as an excuse for not obeying God. That's the reason God says that's for this life only.
Mm-hmm.
There are no married people in heaven. You're getting this?
Yes, sir.
There's no mommy, daddy in heaven. There's one Father, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, and all the rest are children. And all of us are going to the Father's what? House. Every other relationship was for this life only. And so God says, when it comes down to me and you, you need to get that straight now. Stop using people as an excuse. I would obey God if. There's nothing, nothing, nothing more important than making sure your sins are covered. And that's the reason Paul can say, some of us have thorns in this in our life that are going to be there till you die. Amen. And God's grace is what? You can get through. Because it's for this life what? Only. And trust me, eternity is way longer than these few years we're living down here. Right? How did Paul say it? These light, what? Momentary afflictions are what? Not worthy to be compared to the glory that's coming. So we got to keep things in perspective and remember that you got to have this right relationship. Nothing is to be distracting. All right, we good? Then finally, I want to show then Howard the significance of us to us in the New Testament. In the New Testament, as I've said all along, Christ fulfills the truths of the Day of Atonement. You read Hebrews 9, the whole chapter, Hebrews 9, on into most of Hebrews 10. It will describe for you this Old Testament analogy where the priest went through the veil and all that it meant, okay? And so for us, you read verses like 1 John 1:7. You all know that verse? It says, if we walk in the light. You all know God's light? He possesses immortality and he what? Dwells in unapproachable light. Yeah! So when you come to God, you are coming to this unapproachable light, this blaze of glory. Everyone that is coming to the sphere of the glory of God falls down like they're dead because the glory is so all-consuming, so awesome. And so, but the Bible says that God has called us what? Out of darkness. What? Into this marvelous light. And then 1 John says, if we walk in this light as he is in the light, look at this. We have fellowship with one another. Right? Everybody in the light is to have fellowship with one another. But here's what I want to get to. That last phrase in that verse says, and his blood cleanses us from what? All our sins. You get that? He didn't miss one. He did not miss one. Oh, that's good news. All of them. When he called me out of darkness into light, Jesus said, I got all of Willie's sins covered. This is incredibly important. That's the only way you're going to have peace. It's to know that my sins have been covered. So you don't know me like I know me. And I don't know you the way you know yourself. But we all know we've done some awful things. We've thought some awful things. And we've said some awful things. Yeah? And I'm so thankful that all of it, right? And then, then John says, if we confess our sins, yeah? Verse 9, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from what? No. You get this? He is faithful and just to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. That's our hope. That's fundamental to being a Christian. All of my sins are covered. Hallelujah. My past sins, my present sins, the sins I committed today are covered. The sins I'm going to commit, they're covered. It's covered. It's covered. It'll never come back to condemn me. Never. I can't go to hell. If you're in the light, you cannot go to hell. Oh, this is wonderful. All of our sins, Jesus did it. Right? It's not just a song that said Jesus paid it all. You know that song, right? What? All? He paid it all, so what? All to him out? See, there's a whole lot of good theology. We mouth off a lot of words, but we need to be listening to what's being said. He paid it what? Oh. Yeah, he did. And it covered all. Christ, this is so good. I'm like Billy now. I'm getting tired too. This is so good. Christ has torn open this veil. This veil that, you remember when we talked to the children about having access to God? And the only way to have it is what? Through Jesus. And Jesus has made this way. He's opened up this veil to heaven. And he's given every believer access to the Holy of Holies. Access to the very presence of God. I've been invited in. The place where only the high priest could go. God has said, come on in, Willie. What? I can go in now? Yes. Come on in. How can you go in there? How can I go in there, Lord? Because Jesus is in there. Oh, and he has covered, Willie, he's covered what? All of your sins. It's all covered. Come on in. Isn't it? Therefore, since we have been what? Justified by faith. What? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You getting this? Look at wait. That's good enough. But then verse 2 of Romans 5 says that it's through him that we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in trouble and tribulation and waiting on the glory of God. Oh, access is a wonderful thing. The pastor in Hebrews then would say, come boldly then, confidently to what? Come on now, the throne of grace. Come on in, Christian. Come on to the throne. Come right here in the presence of God. And what you'll find is that you'll find grace. You're going to have mercy that meets you there. And grace to help you in your time of need. That's what access to God does for you. See, when all your sins are forgiven, that's what makes it possible. You can't enjoy God's presence if with all that guilt and... right? Ain't no way you can enjoy God's presence with the guilt of sin. We can't even enjoy each other's presence when you know you're guilty of offense against someone. Isn't that true? You can fake it, but inside you know you got right. You got that conflicted thing going on inside you. That's the reason God says he wants us to reconcile so we can what? Be at peace with one another. Yeah? And that's we learn it from having that right relationship with God. This is the kind of relationship I want with God. This is the kind of relationship I want with you. Yes? Oh, man. So, you know, every believer then ought to graciously benefit from this. Every believer ought to faithfully Get in God's presence. Every believer ought to consistently get in God's presence and enjoy that benefit. The benefit from that comes from having access to God in prayer and in praise. And then finally, I just want you to know, you probably picked this up along the way. Christ is the only mediator for this life and for all of eternity. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, right? The man, Christ Jesus. So, I hope that God will use this to solidify these truths. We had to make a lot of trips to Arkansas the past year or two. And one of the trips back, Adam and I were cruising back, heading back to St. Louis. And I'm cruising along. And this is one of the times I'm actually over here in the I guess they call it the slow lane. We're just having a good time. And I see these little flashing lights up here, troopers pull somebody over. But I'm kind of boxed in, so, I can't move over. So I cruise on past them, and then I notice the lights then start following me. He had somebody pulled over. He left them. And came after me. And at first I thought, oh, ain't me. Can't be me. And so he pulled me over. And he told me that, I should have either slowed down or gotten over in another lane when I passed him. Those of you who have been pulled over, how that's gone. Your heart's racing, and all that guilt. And why didn't I, all of the things going on inside you. And then I'm realizing, I ain't got no money. I don't need a ticket. I don't need the insurance. All of these things going on inside your head. This is before he ever even gets to the car. And, I got no basis for God to be praying right now. I broke the law. And so all I'm at, I can plead with God for mercy. So he came there, and, I'm obviously being polite, gracious, and so he told me the story that, what I should have done. And then he says, I'm going to give you a warning. And he sent me on my way. Now, that was a weight lifted off me. That trooper just forgave me for one offense. And that weight was lifted off of me. But now, think of this. We got all the weight of all our sins. Now, that offense was just forgiving me one offense for one moment. It's for that moment. Because I still could get in trouble again. And I could have gotten in trouble before I got back home on that same trip. So you see what I'm saying is that was relief for that moment and that instant. But God has taken all of my sins and the guilt and the weight of them, not just for a moment, but for all time and eternity. And that's the reason I rejoice. That's the reason I thank Him. That's the reason I want others to enter into this joy. As a believer, I want you to, with me, let's come over here and let's have fellowship in the light, because God has delivered us from all our sins. Yes, and He has set us free. Hallelujah. And so as we conclude, my beloved brothers and sisters, I'd say to you that we can see that the Day of Atonement was an occasion to thank God for His faithfulness in covering sins. His faithfulness in what? Forgiving sins. It's a reminder to thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ for His great plan of redemption. It's God's plan. It's thorough. It leaves out nothing. It's a perfect plan. Thank Him for Jesus paid it all. He paid the debt. He paid the price. He paid the ransom for every sin. He paid the ransom for every sin, for every believer. No exceptions. No sin is too great. No sin is too awful. No sin is too miserable. No sin is too shameful. No sin is too painful. No sin is too damaging for the price he paid. He paid the price for all sin. There is therefore, what? Now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, if the Son sets you free, come on, you know this. You're what? Free indeed. Always remember the blessing of forgiveness. Always remember the blessing of being at peace with God. Always remember the blessing of living in fellowship with Christ. Always remember the blessing of having access to God in prayer and praise. Jesus paid it all. Huh? All to him I owe. I want to close with just a few verses out of Revelation 5. Just close your Bibles and listen. You can even close your eyes and listen to this. Revelation chapter 5. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people of God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the sound of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. If you are not a Christian, none of this will happen by listening to this sermon. You can't become a Christian by listening to me. You can't become a Christian by listening to your parents or to those your Sunday school teacher. You have to come to Christ. You got to believe him for yourself. But once you do, all of your sins are forgiven. That's what I invite you to today. How can you do that, Brother Willie? By the authority of Christ himself. Come to him and he will save you forever. Come to him and your sins will be forgiven. Forever, all of them, for all time and all eternity. And you too will have access to God. Father, I thank you for the great blessing of being together today and for helping me and us to work together through these truths. I pray where I may have been confusing or anything that was not honoring to you, would you let it fall to the ground? And yet, Lord, would you communicate very clearly to your people both your will and your way, and help us who love Christ to walk with him in this light, have fellowship with each other and peace with you, and to know that all our sins are forgiven. Bring someone to yourself today. Bring someone to this place of peace that no one can give them but Christ. Would you do it for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen.